Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom, Israel, family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara'al, of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. Just like always, I'll remind everyone to grab your notepads, your iPads, your pens, your pencils, your Bibles, concordance, all those things that are needed for a great study. So the Father has some interesting things for us on this Sabbath day. As always, we're going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank thee for thy blessings and lessons that you've given us throughout the course of the week. We thank thee for allowing us to be a help to those in whom we came in contact with. We thank those along the way. For we know that the things that the Father gives us through Yahushua is for his purpose. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy truth. And we ultimately thank you for your love. Father, we ask of thee to open our minds to receive the wonders of your word on this Sabbath day. We ask of thee to open our eyes so that we can perceive your love and kindness as you sup with us on this Sabbath day, the day in which you set apart to dwell with us. Thank you, Father. In the name of Yahushua, we pray, amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. As always, family, if you can hear me, send me a shout-out. Let me know that you can hear me because you kind of had some technical difficulties earlier, but all things are worked out. So if you can hear me clearly, let me know. Send me a shout-out. This particular lesson is pretty interesting. And what makes it interesting is the fact of how it came about. As always, I go throughout the course of the week, you know, praying and asking the Father to lead and guide me and do his word so that I can give a good message to his children. And all week long, nothing. You know, sometimes I would, you know, I do my little studying, I read the word, and, you know, I'm trying to formulate something. And then it stops. Because ultimately, it's not about what I want to say or what I want to convey. It's what the Father wants to be heard. And we as teachers, we as believers, we as students, we as children, we have to obey and listen for those words of the Father. We have to listen for those words of the shepherd, that good shepherd, Yahushua. We have to listen for that spirit to speak to us. So throughout the course of the week, you know, oh, what am I going to teach? What am I going to teach? What am I going to teach? So ultimately, the Father gave me some things to talk about. And how it came about was, you know, I got rid of my barber, you know, and I talked to a coworker, and he was telling me about his barber. And one of the things that he was telling me about his barber was he was a Israelite. And I was like, wow, that is nice. It'd be cool to have a barber that's an Israelite. That way we can sit and we can, you know, chop it up, you know, while he cutting my hair, you know. Literally, you know, chopping my hair off and things of that nature. Making me look good. Right? But so this week, I called myself trying to go over to a spot because, you know, he didn't really know the address of this place, so he told me where it was. So I go over to the place, and I meet the guy. And, you know, I was trying to get my hair cut that particular day, and he, you know, said I do appointments only. So I was like, okay, I was cool with that. So then, you know, we started talking, and, you know, you know, started talking, you know, made an appointment and things of that nature. And, you know, it was interesting because when he, you know, I made an appointment for Friday, which is, you know, today, you know, or yesterday. And he asked me what time did I want to come. And I said, well, what time do you open? And he said, 7:30. I'm like, whoa, you really start early, you know. So I was like, okay, cool, 8 o'clock. And if you're familiar with the weather in Baltimore, it was kind of messed up. So I didn't know whether or not he was going to still have the shop open. And so I get to the spot because I didn't get a call from him saying that he wasn't going to be there. So I go to the shop, and, you know, he wasn't there in a timely fashion, but he had to be mindful that the weather was kind of bad this morning. So I called him, and he said, yeah, I'm on my way. So make a long story short, you know, I'm sitting in his chair, and all of a sudden, you know, we started dialoguing about the word while he's cutting my hair. Granted, I got there about 8 o'clock, sat in his chair about 8:15. I didn't leave his shop until like 10 o'clock, you know, and it was interesting because he had no other appointments, you know, so he had time to sit there and we talked about that word, constantly building on that word. And it was really good to, you know, to sit down and converse, you know, with the word. I know you all do the same thing when you have an opportunity to talk with someone in regards to that word. And especially when you can talk to someone about that word and, you know, you just constantly building. You're going from this point to that point to this point to that point. But at the end of the day, all points are just giving the Father the glory, giving Yahushua the glory. And that's what was happening in the conversation. You know, it wasn't, you know, him trying to be a teacher, me trying to be a teacher. It was just two brothers just sitting down there talking about the glory of the Most High. And that was a, you know, wonderful thing. And so that's what inspired this particular lesson. And it was because of that, you know, because this was my first time, well, the second time actually, you know, engaging with this individual. But, you know, it was just the opportunity to sit down and build with another brother who acknowledged, you know. And this is one of the things that really got me in the conversation. He acknowledged the Father, you know, by name. And I was like, wow, it's not many people that acknowledge the Father by name. So I was like, wow, this is really nice. This is going to be a nice, lasting relationship, hopefully, if it be according to the Father's will. And so just to, you know, that's the foundation of this particular lesson, but it also connects with last week's lesson, as you know, the title of last week's lesson was, you know, you will be great for my team. And what we learned was the Father has chosen us to be on his team, but we have to understand that each and every one of us have a unique talent for him. But we have to really discover what that talent is, and we have to work that talent, and we have to be willing to do it for him. You know, just like, you know, we go to our different jobs and we do what we do for the system, and we do a great job for them. You know, we go through the ups and the downs, but we still try to do a great job for them. But then let's take that same energy and do a great job for the Father, you know, because he has chosen us to do a thing. The lesson title is Yisrael, work your Yah-given talent, your Yah-given trade. And one of the things that, you know, we're going to go through is the trades of some of our forefathers. And one thing, you know, the Father brought to my understanding is that, you know, we're all one body and we all have different functions. But within that function, we still have to uphold the law, statutes, and judgments and doing what the Father wants us to do. So he wants us to acknowledge our job, but also utilize our character to do the job for him. Because when we go out there in the world, what do? We use our character to do the job for the system. Why can't we use our character and do the job for the Most High? Not saying you're not doing it, but just a thought. If you're not out there working your talents that you have for the Most High to do your God-given trade. And we're going to start off in Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, "The man knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and gave birth to Cain and said, 'I have gotten a man with Yahweh's help.' Again, she gave birth to Cain's brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." So right here, we're being told the two traits of early man. And one is a keeper of sheep, which is a shepherd. And one is a keeper of the land, which is a farmer. And so when we pay attention to those things, we have to, you know, tend sheep. You know, there's a parable, you know, not a parable, but, you know, the Messiah talks about that. You know, take care of my sheep. You know, there's a parable that talks about, you know, dealing with the ground. So now we're going to go to, it's another one. We're going to go to Genesis. No, we're not going to go there yet. Amen. Oh, here we go. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. No, I'm not going to go there. My fault, family. Let me stay. I'm moving ahead of myself. All right. Sorry about that. Now we're going to go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 8. And it reads, "Then Abraham said to Lot, 'Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers.'" Father led me here because, you know, going back to one of our trades is being a herdsman, keeping the sheep. And then with this particular story, as we know, Abraham didn't have any children, so he took Lot, which was his nephew, and he raised Lot to be as his own son. And then there came a time when strife came amongst their herdsmen. And so they end up parting ways, going one way and, you know, another way. But we're dealing with the trade of being a herdsman. And this is something that we have, our forefathers did. And so when we look at modern day time, you know, we have to maintain, you know, when we deal with like a family or a church family, they refer to them as a flock. You know, I think we talked about it before, how Yahushua said, "Feed my flock." You know, he said he was the good shepherd. And then we as believers striving to be like him, then we supposed to also be good shepherds and take care of the flock, taking care of the people, giving the people what they need, you know, because, you know, we're all herdsmen in our own way. We're all herdsmen in our own home. We're all herdsmen when we go and we mingle amongst the world, because we have little pockets of people that we are around and we interact with and have different relationships with. But at the same time, we have to remember our purpose. And our purpose is to bring people to the understanding and the knowledge of Yahushua. Bring people to the understanding and the knowledge of the law, statutes, and judgments. These are the things that we are supposed to do as Israel. Because as we read in the scriptures, Israel fell short in that area because they got caught up in looking outside, looking at what other people had and not realizing what they had themselves. So from here, we're going to go to 1 Samuel, the 17. We're going to read verses 34 to 37. And this is another, you know, one of our forefathers in the word that was a encouragement. And it reads, "And Dawood said to Saul, your servant has been tending sheep for his father. And when the lion or the bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and smote it and rescued it from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and smote it and killed it. Your servant has smitten both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, seeing that he has reproached the armies of the living Elohim." And Dawood said, "Yahweh who delivered me from the paws of the lion and from the bear, and from the paws of the bear, he does deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Shaul said to Dawood, "Go, and Yahweh be with you." So going here, understanding that David was doing these things in the power of the living Elohim. And he was proclaiming this. Like he said, you know, when my sheep was taken by the lion, I went after that lion to get my sheep back. And I smoked that lion when it came up against me. Same thing with that bear. And what is happening? This, as he said, this Philistine came up against Israel, the living Elohim. And he was saying, "I'm going to smoke him." He's saying that Most High is going to deliver him up and to me. And that's the same power that we have. But we have to understand that, because what is that dealing with? That is dealing with David's faith. We tend to come back to that statement, faith. Because it's through the faith in Yahweh, through the faith in Yahushua, that these things are accomplished. Why? Because Yahushua has already accomplished these things. Yahweh has already accomplished these things. He's already conquered the world system. And he's just given us the hope and the desire to want that same thing, that same power to overcome this world system. That's what he wants. And the way we do it is through faith. It's not by the strength, as we read in with David. It wasn't by his strength that he was able to overcome the lion and the bear. I mean, I've never seen a bear, and I'm not trying to see one personally. You know, I'm not trying to run up on, you know, we go camping. I'm not trying to see no bear out there in the woods. No, sir. No, ma'am. No, I am not trying to see them. I'm not trying to go on no safari because I don't want to see no lion. No, sir. No, ma'am. I'm a city slicker. You know, but what we have to understand, the connotation when we deal with these bears and these lions, he's talking about these great powers that we may come up against. And it's that faith in Yahweh, faith in his word, that we can overcome these things. Going back to that original trade, maintaining that flock, because that's why he did these things. He put his life on the line for the sake of his sheep. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 10, verses 14 and 16. And it reads, I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, I have to bring them as well, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And so that's where, you know, the earlier part of this conversation came from. See, understanding that there's other people out there that is a part of Yahushua's flock. And we have to reach out to them. We have to reach out to them. We have to have faith that he is going to lead and guide us to those other people that are of his flock. So from here, we're going to go to Acts chapter 10, verse 9 through 16. And it reads, and now, the next day, as they were on their journey and got close to the city, Peter went up to the housetop and prayed about noon. He became hungry and desired to eat. But while they were preparing, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and a curtain and a certain container descended to him like a great sheet let down by four corners on the earth, and which were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild animals, reptiles, and birds of the sky. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Adonai, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. A voice came to him again, the second time, what Yah has cleansed, you must not call unclean. This was done three times, and immediately the vessel was received up into heaven. So, Father led me to this particular scripture because we know when we read in the scriptures in regards to Peter, during that particular time, the Yahudi didn't mingle outside of themselves. And then this is also during the time of, you know, the Hellenization or when the Rome, no, not the Hellenization. This is when the Romans were, they were in Roman captivity or under the bondage of the Romans. And, you know, so the Romans and Yahudi, they didn't really mingle. And it's ultimately dealing with the story in regards to Cornelius. But the reason why the Father brought this to, you know, to mind is because he wants us not to be afraid to talk to those that are outside of Israel, because there's sheep that's amongst other people. And, you know, we have to always remember that when Israel came out of Egypt, or the Hebrews came out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude. So everybody wasn't of the family of Jacob. Everybody wasn't of that family. But we have to understand that when we deal with the families or the people that came out of Egypt with the Hebrews, we have to be mindful of those three sons that Noah had, Ham, Shem, and Yafet. It's a possibility that the descendants of those other brothers outside of Shem were in Egypt also and came out. And so that's what we go through today. We come across brothers and sisters that are of those particular lines. and we have to give them the same opportunity that we give our brothers and sisters that walk in the ways of the truth. We got to give them an opportunity to know who Yahushua is. We got to give them an opportunity to understand the word of Yah. Because if he gives us an understanding, and if we utilize his word properly, then we can also do his will. Because what we'll do, we'll be like those shepherds pulling those sheep in, leading and guiding them. Why? Because they're going to hear that spirit of Yahushua coming out of our mouths. And they're going to poke their head up. And they're going to follow us. And they're going to listen to us. Because it's not us who they're listening to. It's the spirit of Yahushua that dwells in us that they're listening to. Spirit of Abraham that they're feeling. That hospitality. That kindness that we're supposed to show to one another, to humanity, because we know that Yahushua came to save humanity. It's just Israel is the one who is that, as our beloved rabbi used to say, that spearhead that's supposed to cut through the foolishness. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis. Chapter 2, because now we're going to deal with another aspect of these God-given creeds. And it's Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And it reads, "And Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it." So when we go back to Genesis, man was put into a garden. He was put into a field that had a wonders of things, plants, trees, everything that you need. And he told him he wanted him to work it. So ultimately, he had to work the field and tend to it, guard it, and protect it, this field. We know the story. As a result of the story, he was kicked out. And then he was kicked out to a desert land, a land that he had to work it in order for it to produce. And to make a new garden, to provide himself with nourishment, provide himself with clothing, provide himself with shelter. When before he had all those things. So from here we're going to go to Matthew's. We're going to read chapter 13. We're going to read verses 3 to 30. And this is actually dealing with parables that Yahushua put out to the people. But it's ultimately dealing with being a farmer or dealing with agriculture. And it reads, "And he spoke to them much in parables, saying, see, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, so indeed fell upon the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell." Well, you know what? I apologize, family. I forgot to put my glasses on. Woo! Now I can see clearly now. I was wondering why things was going funny. We'll start over. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 to 30. And he reads, "And he spoke to them much in parables, saying, see, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some indeed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell on rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprung up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. And others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And the taught ones came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered, saying to them, because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the reign of heavens, but to them it has not been given. For whosoever possesses to him more shall be given, and he shall have overflowingly, but whoever does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him. Because of this, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. I'm going to stop here for a minute. See, what he's telling the taught ones or his disciples is that I speak to them in parables because them to seek him out. But ultimately, he wants them to seek him out so that they can want to understand what is being said, because he doesn't want to tell them out what's going on, because then they're going to be responsible for what's being told to them. And that's just like us. When we're sitting down and we're talking about the Father's word, we don't want to be giving the depths of his word to people who won't understand it. But that's one of the reasons why he said, continue in my word. Because the more you continue in his word, the more you'll be able to understand and understand and understand. But going back to what we were saying earlier in regards to you being part of his team. See, when you have certain skills, you can utilize those skills for his purpose. And then you can also relate to the skills that you have and mingle it with that word. Because he's going to give you a better understanding of his word through the things that you do as an individual. Like the scripture is a scripture that says, let each man be persuaded in his own mind. He's going to teach you his word based on how you think, based on the things that you do and the things that you do well. And he's going to place you amongst his flock, amongst his house, to do your purpose. Why? Because he understands that you are skilled at what you do. Just like if we are building a house. You know, you have some that's skilled at carpentry, some that's skilled at electricity, some that's skilled at being a plumber, some that's skilled at being a painter. You know, you got some who's skilled at being at the door. You got some who's skilled at cooking. And all these things are needed for a house. You know, the people that's working are going to need to eat. So you got to provide them with the food, and you want to provide them with good food so that they can continue to want to work, you know. But the Father utilizes us according to his purpose, but utilizing the skills that he has given us. And see, we have to understand and realize the skills that he has given us so that we can go out there and till the minds of people, break up that ground so that we can plant those seeds of righteousness in them, so that we can be good shepherds and bring the people to Yahushua. Because when we speak in Yahushua's words, they will hear, like I said earlier. We're going to go to, I forgot where I'm at, I'm going to go back to verse 12. And it says, for whosoever possesses to him more shall be given, and he shall have overflowingly. But whosoever does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him. Because of this, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Yeshayahu is completely filled, which says, hearing, you shall hear, and by no means understand. And seeing, you shall see, and by no means perceive. For the heart of this people has become thickened, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart. And we've talked about that term heart as talking about their mind. And turn back and heal them. And blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. See, the Father has given us an opportunity to see, to perceive His word. He's given us an opportunity to hear His word, so that we can, and so that shows that we understand His word. He has done that for us. Verse 17. But truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous ones longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You then hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the rain and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes, the wicked one comes and snatch away what was sown in his heart. This is that sown by the wayside, and that's sown on the rocky places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but is short-lived. And when the pressures or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And that sower among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the worrying of this age and the deceit of riches choke the word, and it becomes fruitless. And the sower on the good soil is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I'm going to stop here for a minute because, you know, just talking about, you know, going out there and sharing the word and using your skills. You know, the Father has given us an opportunity to understand His word. So we have to be good stewards over His word. And we have to understand that because we have that understanding of His word, because we have that connection with His Son, we have to utilize that faith so that we can go out there and continue to yield fruit. And that fruit is not our fruit. The fruit is the Father's. Because that's why we're out there doing it. Because we're working for Him, the seed of His Son, and those that are out there in the world. But we have to be skilled at what we're doing and understanding the ground in which we're placing that seed in. Verse 24, and it says, another parable he put before them, saying, the rain of the heaven has become like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed darnels among the wheat and went away. And when the blades sprouted and bore fruit, then the darnels also appeared. And the And the master, wait a minute. Verse 26. And when the blaze sprouted and bore fruit, then the darnels also appeared. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? From where then does it have the darnel? And he said to them, A man, an enemy, did this. And the servant said to him, Do you wish then that we go and gather them? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the darnel, you also uproot the wheat. Sorry about that, fam. I got distracted. And he said to them, A man, an enemy, did this. And the servant said to him, Do you wish then that we go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I shall say to the reaper, First gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my granaries. Going back to just being mindful of our, you know, simple tasks. And that's what this word, you know, we plant those good seeds out there. But sometimes we plant good seeds amongst, you know, we plant good seeds, but, you know, the people, you know, now let's look at it from this perspective. When we out there talking about Yahweh's word, because that word is the seed, sometimes when we're talking about that word, people pick up what we're saying. But because they have other people whispering in their ears and telling them other things, it makes it difficult for them to understand. But then when that harvest time comes, what do he say? He said, let them grow together. Because when the rubber hits the road, they're going to see those people that's been sown that good seed, going to see that those people that's giving them bad seed is going to fall by the wayside. It's going to burn up. Their words are not going to hold up. So we have to be mindful of that in doing our task of sharing his word, breaking up that soil, because that's one of the things that a farmer does. He breaks up that soil and put that seed in good ground. You know, when he's not going to put forth an effort to lay seed in bad soil or bad land. He's going to clean that land up. He's going to get rid of the thorny areas, the thorn bushes. He's going to get rid of the rocks. He's going to get rid of all those things that are necessary so that when he plants his crop, it's in good soil. And he's going to tend his crops so he can get rid of the weeds. And that's like the tares. He's going to get rid of those things. He's going to get rid of those things when they're early in their development. Then I'm going to go to Isaiah 8 to 10. And this is, I went here because this is a reference that, you know, Yahushua said to them. And it reads, I heard Yahweh's voice saying, Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. Let's stop here for a minute. Because we've talked about that. Here I am, send me. The Father calls out to us. And he asks us. He lets us know a task is at hand. and he brings it to your attention. Are you saying, here I am, send me? Send me, send me. I'll go tend that field. I'll go deal with this situation. Yes, I'll do this. Are we saying that to Yahushua when he knocks on our door and we open the door and let him in, and then he lets us know what our task is? Or he sends a representative to us, a messenger to us, to do a task. Are we saying, here I am, send me? Verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, you hear indeed, but you do not understand, and you see indeed, but you do not perceive. Make the heart of the people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. They see with their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again and be healed. See, that's what we're doing. We're helping those whose eyes have been closed, and we're trying to open their eyes. See, because we're little messiahs. See, because these are some of the things that Yahushua did when he was here on earth. He opened the blind eyes. He assisted the deaf to hear and to understand. He caused the mute to speak. You know, these are the things that he did. And as his spirit grows in us, as we put his word in us, we have the ability to do the same thing. Where's our faith? See? A lot of things come back to that faith. We read about Peter earlier. You know, Peter said to Yahushua, call me out. Call me out on the water. And when he had his eyes on Yahushua, he was walking on water. But as soon as he got caught up in the cares that was going on around him, he started sinking. And he called out for the Messiah to help him versus putting his eyes back on him. See, and that's what we have to do. When troubled times come, when we get distractions, we got to put our eyes back on Yahushua, so that we can rise up above that situation, so that the distraction can go away. Because it's his power that we can overcome any obstacle. His power. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. And see, the previous occupations we were talking about was a herdsman, a farmer. But when Yahushua come on the scene, we get another task, another type of job. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And it reads, and he said to them, follow me, and I shall make you fishers of men. See, that's the next job. That's the next occupation that he's given us as believers in him, as fishers of men. And if you pay attention to a number of his taught ones, that's where they were. They were fishermen. So they were skilled at fishing, you know. And I've been fishing before. I only been fishing one time. And one of the things that, you know, when I went fishing, the gentleman that was, you know, that took me on the trip, you know, we stopped past a variety of bait. And he was saying how with this bait, you can catch certain types of fish. So now this job that we've, you know, being given as being fishers of men, see, we have to understand the word of the Most High. And he's given us that understanding so that when we utilize in his word, we can help build the person up. But at the same time, we can give them what they need. And that's that right bait, to reel them in. Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50. And it reads, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some fish of every kind, which when it was filled, they drew up on the beach, they sat down and gathered the good, and they gathered the good into containers, but the bad they threw away. So will it be in the end of the world. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So we're looking at this parable. This parable is, you know, just dealing with, you know, they said all kinds of fish. See, one of the connotations of fish, spirit world. You know, so when we, you know, this is what he's showing us now. You know, we're going to be able to deal with people's mental. Beforehand, we was dealing with people physical. You know, when you deal with the, you know, the connotation of working the field and working the animals, tending to the animals. But now we're dealing with fish. See, because fish can't live out of the water. It can't live out of the water. It needs to be in the water in order to survive. So now he's taking us to a different realm and dealing with people from a different perspective. So now we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. You know, we've all been here before. We're going to read verses 10 and 12. And it says, "Finally, be strong in Yahushua and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yahushua that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of darkness of this age, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." See, family, he's preparing us for another type of work, another type of understanding of his word. Because this is where the faith really comes into play. See, because now we're understanding who that enemy is. And see, the enemy is utilizing the flesh, the tangible things, to distract us. But we're supposed to utilize something else to overtake him. And he talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 6. And it reads, and this is Paul talking, and it says, "Now I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the humility and the gentleness of the Messiah, I, who in your presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you. Yes, I beg you that I may not, when present, show courage with the confidence with which I intend to be bold against some who consider us to be walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before Yah, to throw down of all the throw down of strongholds, throwing down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of Yah, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Messiah, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience will be made full. Understanding, family, we have to be prepared mentally, spiritually, when we go out here and we talk to people, when we cultivate these lands, when we pull these, when we utilize that word, and we talk to people, like just going back to my initial conversation, what led me to this particular reading of these scriptures. See, when I went and talked to the gentleman, first of all, a brother that I, you know, a co-worker, he's not really, you know, he's a co-worker. And we were talking about something. I think I was talking about my barber or something. And he was telling me about his barber. You know, but this particular person, I've talked to him before. And, you know, but we never really, you know, chopped it up as far as the word was concerned. But he understood and knew where, you know, where my foundation was. And so when he, you know, when I talked to him about his barber, he was telling me, yeah, my barber is an Israelite too. I was introduced to this gentleman through someone who wasn't even, you know, he knew, we, you know, we both had something in common. So I just want to encourage everyone, you know, just to, you know, let the Father use you. Let the Father utilize the talents that you have within you, the skill set that he has given you. But go back to the simplicity of your skill set. Or not the simplicity of your skill set, but go back to the simplicity of the types of jobs that our forefathers had. Farmers, shepherds, and fisheries, or fishermen. And utilize those particular skill sets to bring people to the knowledge of Yahushua and bring them into the right knowing of Yah's law, statutes, and judgments. Because there's many sheep that's out there that's of Yahushua's fold. And we can't reach them if we don't talk to them. We don't reach them if we're constantly keeping our light under a bushel. There's a parable that talks about that also. You know, who has a light and hide it under a bushel? No, you put it on the hilltop. You put it out there. You let that light in you shine. That light is not yours. It's Yahushua's. He's that light. And he's that light that's burning bright in you. So allow him to use you to be that lantern to someone that is in darkness that he has chosen to bring out of the darkness. Just like he brought you out of darkness, he's going to utilize you to bring someone out of darkness, just like someone brought you out of darkness. Because he chose you for his team. He chose you to do a work. He chose us, because I'm included also. He chose us to do a work for him. And he is utilizing that same bait that he's telling us to use with us. Because he knows our character. And he knows what we need. and he knows what the next person needs. Just like we read in Isaiah when he said, "Here I am, send me." You know? There's another story in regards to that also, on the flip side. You know, when it talks about the father said, "I need somebody to go lie to some." I think it was a king or something. "Oh, I need somebody to lie to him. You know, go lie to him." I mean, it was a spur to say, "Hey, I'll do that for you." You know, so I mean, it's on both sides of the coin. You know, because, but you just want to be on the righteous side. You know, because as we know, Hasatan and his minions already know what they are. They them tares. They already know that they going to the fire. But like we read in that parable, he allowed them to grow together for his glory. He's not going to allow the adversary to choke us out. No, he's not. He's going to come and he's going to prune those thorns because he doesn't want us to be choked out. You know, and, you know, I was talking to my, you know, just want to throw this one out there, you know, because just another thing, you know, when we are out there talking to people, you know, I was talking to my wife recently, and, you know, we was talking about this, about going out and talking to people, and, you know, she made a statement. She said, "You know, I don't eat off of everybody's plate." And when she said that to me, it was, you know, it was real interesting, because what came to my mind was, you know, a smorgasbord, you know, as you know, an all-you-can-eat thing. You know, you go to an all-you-can-eat, and you'll see people, you know, and they'll pile all types of food on this one little plate. You know, different types of food that don't mix and match and whatnot because they're lazy and don't want to go back and get another plate. They'd rather stack one plate with all these different types of foods that don't mingle right and eat it all up. You know, I've had my opportunity to go to an all-you-can-eat. And I was one of those individuals, I ate two plates and a dessert. And my plates were, you know, specific. You know, if I had fish, I ate fish, carrots, and rice. And that was all that was on that plate. I would eat that up, and I would go get me another plate. And if I decide I want some beef, I eat some beef, some mashed potatoes, that's it. And then I would eat my dessert because I didn't go there to gorge myself. I went there to enjoy my meal so I wouldn't have to leave out their stuff. Whereas you have people, that's what they do with this word. They try to stuff themselves with the word, and eating off of all these different people's plates because it's available. No, we can't be eating off of everybody's plate. We can't be listening to everybody's sayings. Because what that does, that becomes a distraction to us. And we don't need to be distracted. We need to keep our focus on Yahushua. We need to keep our focus on the task at hand. Because as we know, things are going to get waxed worse and worse and worse. And see, when we read those scriptures, see, during the time in which they was written, they was talking about being worse and worse and worse. But now we read those scriptures, it's our present, worse and worse and worse. So if we don't have our foundation in Yahushua, we're going to be just like some of our forefathers, falling by the wayside, being like in that parable. As soon as hard times come, we falling away. The scriptures talk about a great falling away. Let's not be a part of that falling away, family. We need to start buckling down. Stop eating off everybody's plate. Everybody is not teaching you the right things. Everybody is not teaching you the right things. They might say some good stuff. The adversary say some good stuff. But at the end of the day, he helping you to get to where he going. And that's to that lake of fire. The scriptures talk about how can he teach unless he's been sent. And if a man is not teaching according to what has already been taught, then that you have to understand or look at who sent him. And we also know that it's only two. And you either serve the Most High or you don't. And if you don't serve the Most High, you're serving Satan. And Satan don't care. He don't care about you. He'll give you all the things of the world. But your soul is going to damnation. So family, pay attention. As Yeshua said, he who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. Stop sharing his truth with those who are not worthy of his truth. Investigate people before you decide you want to start sharing his secrets. Be mindful. We're in this for his glory, not our glory. Because we have no glory. We're sinful. And without his help, stay sinful. Without his guidance, without his love, without his kindness, without his suffering, without his patience, we're nothing. We're like that filthy rag that he compared us with. So family, for those who are out there listening, stop eating off everybody's plate. Stop sharing your plate with everybody. Because we read in the scriptures, many people are going to say, Lord, Lord, I've done wonderful works in your name. You're going to say, depart from me, ye doers of iniquity, for I never knew you. I know I don't want to be one of those people that he say that to. And I know those who are listening to me don't want to be that way either. We want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. We want to be like what Yahushua say, be glad that your name is written in the book of life. That's our ultimate goal, to be written in the book of life. Why? Because we were obedient to Yahushua, that we kept his laws, statutes, and judgments that was passed down to us. So family, just hope that Father opened your eyes to, may you go back and read over them and see what the Father opened your eyes to see. But because he opened my eyes to let me know that, you know, we got to go, I got to go back to being that simple worker. See, in my life, I've said to myself, I never wanted to do hard work. And being a farmer, that's hard work. They out in the elements, they outside. I've never had a job that was out in the elements. Even though we understand that some of these things, you know, there's a physical connotation of these things and there's a spiritual connotation of these things. Looking at it from the physical perspective, being a farmer looks like it's, well, I have a garden. I didn't deal with it last year. Why? Because I did something wrong the previous year. mess my soil up. But when I did have my garden going on, it was work. It was work. And I think the following year, I slacked up on that work. I wasn't going out there tilling it, and not really tilling it, but getting them weeds away from my vegetation. You know, so the following year, I had too much vegetation up in there, and I didn't feel like getting it out. And then the excuse I used was I was letting the land rest. I justified why I didn't get out there and plant some more vegetables and stuff. I was letting the land rest. That was me lying to myself. I was being lazy. I'm one of them people, I don't want no pet. I don't want to take care of no pet. You know, just looking at it from the perspective of being a herdsman, taking care of an animal. I say to myself, if an animal can't go clean up after itself, man, I don't want it, But that's not what the Father telling us right here, He ain't talking about that animal. He's talking about his people. So we can't be lazy and going and not taking care of his people. And then ultimately getting back to this fisherman. We have to be mindful of who, using the right bait. Dealing with people. Being like Paul, not being so, what Paul say, don't be quick to speak. Back and listen to people. Listen to where they at. Before you decide you want to start dropping jewels, start dropping that word, because this word is precious. And we see throughout the scriptures when people misuse that word. But ultimately, I want to tell you all that God his word, He tell us to guard his word, protect his word. Safeguard his word. We started off in the garden. He told him to keep that garden, safeguard that garden. But did he do it? No, he didn't do it. We're getting ready to approach Abib. We just recently heard the lesson was taught last Sabbath that we're supposed to guard the month of Abib because of what it points to. You understand? We have to guard things. He tells us to guard these things. Are we going to be like Isaiah? Here I am. Send me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I'm doing it because I want to do it, not because I'm trying to get some kind of reward. I'm doing it because I genuinely want to do this. Family, when we step into this word, when we put our hand to this plow, we're supposed to be doing it sincerely because we love the Father, because we love the Son, not because we're trying to be seen by men, not because we're trying to get likes. It's not about likes, because the scriptures talk about, Yahushua said, if you love me, the world will hate you. We read in the scriptures where men that were in leadership positions listened to the people. And what happened to them? They fell. Family, stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. The Father will lead and guide you to those in whom you need to speak with. Be a good steward over his word. Good steward. Don't just use his word frivolously. Find jewels. See, he called us fine jewels, but we have to look at his word as being a fine jewel, a precious thing. He called us the apple of his eye. We're supposed to be calling him the apple of our eye. His word is the apple of our eye. Yahushua is the apple of our eye. We have to protect him, uphold him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, as we come before thee on this Sabbath day, we ask of thee to forgive us for our sins that we've committed against thee. Ask of thee, Father, to continue to lift us up with your right hand. We ask of thee, Father, to continue to allow your Son, Yahushua, to send his Spirit to us and open our eyes, open our ears, and grant us the understanding of your word or of him. We ask of thee, Father, to continue to protect us from dangers seen and unseen. We ask of thee, Father, to continue to be Aya, Asha, Aya in our life. Be what you need to be in our life so that we can continue to be strengthened in you. So that we can be good brothers and sisters to one another. So that we can let down the barriers that keeps us divided, that keep us apart. Father, we ask of thee to allow your Spirit to blossom within us, to allow us to be that beautiful bouquet of flowers with those beautiful scents that raise up to you, that rises up to your nostrils. And you say, oh, my beautiful children. May our praise to you, Father, be like those beautiful incense, that frankincense and that myrrh, like nard, where you say, oh, my beautiful children. Father, allow our prayers to be like when we are out at Sukkos and we look up and we see the sky because we are amongst your foliage and we see the light that guards us and protects us in the night. And we sing praises to you and you say, oh, such a beautiful sound. Father, we want to be those beautiful lights that when you look down, you see flickering and dancing for you. Father, continue to help us to be those lights. Because when you look down, what you see is your Son in us. Constantly giving you the praise. We thank you, Father. We thank you for sending thy Son, Yahushua, that perfect example in which we must look upon and uphold. Continue to give us the strength to do that so that we can be good soldiers to fight back against the adversary as he comes up against us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We pray in Yahushua's holy and precious name. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. Shabbat shalom, Israel. May you have a peaceful slumber. And if you don't remember anything from this lesson, remember this. Do not eat from everybody's plate. For everybody's plate not good for you. Shalom, family, friends, and listening audience. Have a peaceful slumber.
So many times I wonder why. Like, why did you choose me? Why would you care about my eyes? And now I know that you love me. And I'm sure that I know that you called me. Out of the many answers you told me, you called me, you chose me. I'm chosen. Lord, you got me singing loud. Didn't have to do it all. You didn't have to do it all. And just like a new creation, see, I'm gonna tell the nation. I'm so glad that you call my name. I'm so glad that you love me, love me. Every day you're there when I need your Holy Spirit breathing in me. I know the plans you have for me. So whether it's heads or tails, I'm still winning. Took your blood and covered my shame, and I will never be the same. You chose me. I'ma shine bright so the world can see that I'm chosen. That you call me your own. Imperfect, I've tried and tried to do it alone. Yeah. But I'll never stop chasing after you. Oh, nah, yeah. But as long as the sun rises, I'll keep on running, running. You have the final word. All I see is you. You're bigger than any situation. Even when I thought it was over, yeah, you came and wrapped me in your arms. You wrapped me in your warm embrace. When the storms keep raging on, I close my eyes, cause that's the way I can hear your voice.
and I shut my mind from all the troubles that just may come. Yeah. And I trust your word, cause that's the way I keep holding on and on. Oh,
but as long as the sun rises,
I'll
keep on running.
You have the final word.
Oh,
all I see is you. Yeah. You're bigger than any situation. Even when I thought it was over, you came and wrapped me in your arms. You wrapped me in your warm embrace.
I don't have to cry no more. Don't have to cry no more. You've made me whole again. You've made me whole again. I don't have to cry no more. Don't have to cry. You wrapped me in your arms.
outta Babylon. Warren outta Babylon. Warren outta Babylon. Babylon did.
Babylon is dying, and the voice of God calls to his messenger.
Help them.
But this call falls on the reluctant ears of an unwilling messenger. Lord, I do not want to help them. They are wicked, and I would watch them die as they have witnessed death at their hands on occasions too numerous to name.
And God calls.
And the messenger of God replies, I know that it is not my will, but your will to be done, but I don't want to save them. But trying to escape your will is like attempting to run from the sun, or trying to dodge raindrops during the great flood, attempting not to get wet. Lord, your glory is your mercy and love, which are doled out even to those who do not deserve it, like me. And this is what makes you God. I am merely and simply human, finding great discomfort in helping those who have hurt me. Babylon is too wicked to save. Her empire has swallowed the earth and gave birth to nations built on the foundations of Sodom and Gomorrah, Nineveh and Rome. Babylon is not my home, and I ask, Lord, that you send me elsewhere. Is there nothing else I can do to help you rather than enter into dialogue with those who would sell hog from your synagogue, the inhabitants of Gog and Magog with the habits of a dog? And God's voice once again said,
help them.
But Lord, please, can I be made steward of the hellfire, making sure it is hot enough for those who seemingly never got enough? Couldn't I fan the flames that consume them and for their added punishment and torment yell, I told you so at the top of my lungs? I am working on compassion, but it is hard to love those so concerned with vanity and fashion. They treasure only worldly pleasure, and it is beyond my limited power to love them.